Together, for those watching online, for those gathered this morning, we ask for your blessing upon our service this morning, our joy as a local church to add an elder, and we just ask for your blessing on this short teaching and the induction to follow. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the book of Acts, we see that there are leaders who are identified in the church, in the early church in Jerusalem. We know that when Paul, on his missionary journeys, planted the churches, he appointed leaders to oversee the church. And he also instructed Titus and Timothy in the epistles that they would appoint leaders in the church. And there are three different titles for those leaders in the scriptures in the New Testament, the first of which is elders. The Greek word is presbyteros, and it relates to the spiritual maturity of the men, that they wouldn't be young or novices, that they would have had time to grow and mature in the Lord, and they are called elders. Another title is overseers. This is episkopos. And this refers to the spiritual authority, that they would oversee the church, that they would have governance over the church. And the last title is shepherd or poimen. And this is relating to their responsibility to feed, to lead, to protect, to guide the church. And in fact, that word poimen in Ephesians 4:11 is translated pastor. So we could slot that right in there and have the three titles: elder, overseer, and pastor. And we may use these titles in different ways, but they refer to the same office, effectively. Biblically speaking, an elder is a pastor, and a pastor is an elder. In evangelical churches, of course, we use the term pastor in a certain way, and we understand that. We'll use it to identify the elder who is typically leading the church with teaching and vision, etc. He is perhaps one who leans more into the shepherding side of the work. Nevertheless, all elders have those responsibilities. So, we have elders, overseers, and a pastor. So when Titus was instructed by Paul, he was tasked by Paul to identify and appoint elders for the churches. And we remember we studied this together in Titus chapter 1. We have the sermons on our website if you want to listen to that. He says, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders," that's presbyteros, "in every town as I directed you." And he gives the criteria for choosing that man in the following verses, verse 6 to 9. Also to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read the characteristics listed that would be definitive of a man appointed to this office. And mainly those characteristics, are those descriptions, are not primarily concerned with what he does as much as it's explaining his character and the type of person he should be. So if we quickly read over those verses, an elder, that's presbyteros, must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man who his children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer, that's episkopos, manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. But rather he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must firmly hold to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So not a perfect man, certainly subject to failure and in need of grace desperately in his life every day like all of us. But nevertheless, he should be an example of godliness before the church. Now back in verse 5, he says, "The reason I left you in Crete is that you might put in order that which was left unfinished. So the churches were growing. There was a need for this defined leadership. And what was unfinished here was that there was no pastors or elders who had been appointed. And of course, the presence of an elder or elders would hopefully result in the fact that there is healthy, wholesome teaching, sound doctrine, and that would have an effect of godliness in the church. The need for these men in the church is compounded when there is different false doctrines and teachings that surrounded them in the early church and also us today. So in Acts 14:26, we read, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And this is what we are doing today, committing them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And you'll notice there it's elders plural in every church singular. So we believe in what we can call plurality of elders, that there would be, hopefully, the goal would be as the church grows that there would be more than one elder. And now we are looking to have three and hope to add more as God leads in God's time. So not only plurality of elders, now notice this, but and I am growing in my own understanding and in these principles of leadership, but I see that not only a plurality of elders is needed, but an equality of elders. And what do we mean by that? Certainly the pastor is likely to have more influence in the church because he is leading the church in terms of teaching and vision, etc. But when it comes to governance, governing the church, there is a board of elders, and there's an equality in the decisions and the leadership of the church, that pastor is accountable to the board just like every other elder is. I think of it like King Arthur's round table, if you don't mind that illustration. Maybe the table is round and the king puts his sword down and they share the responsibility in that sense. The pastor is recognized as the principal leader in terms of primus inter pares. It's a Latin phrase which means the first among equals. So he is the first but among equals. And that's the idea there. The idea being that all authority is not centered in one person, but there is healthy dispersion of that authority among the board. And there's a great safeguard in that for the pastor himself and for the church, right? So the elders on that board should sense the freedom and have the freedom, in fact, more than just the freedom, but have the responsibility to ensure that things are healthy in the church, that sound doctrine is being taught, and the relationships hopefully afford that interactive relationship where things can be questioned and brought into light, and that's very healthy. So how are the elders to exercise their authority? When Jesus spoke to the disciples in Mark 10 on that last Thursday night of the Passion Week, he said, "You know those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles," or the world, we could say. So in other words, leadership that we see in the world, power expressed in the world, they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And there are two principles you can see in these verses. First, there is the principle of servanthood, and then there is the principle of leadership. And Jesus combines the two in what we could refer to as a servant leader. Now, that is a recognized model of leadership today, not just in Christianity, but in the secular world. There are different models of leadership, and one of them, you know, transactional, transformational, and servant leadership is a recognized form of leadership. And in this application, the leader is first a servant and does not lose sight of that. in whether it's a corporate organization or a church, it's the people that are in it that are the most important thing. That the people are not a means to an end, but the people are the end. It's not just the product or the service, or that we grow the church or we have a great ministry, but it's about people, serving the people that are in it. And that's such a beautiful principle. So we recognize that there are gifts given to the church, in the church, for the church. Your gift is given as a blessing to me, and my gift is given as a blessing to you. Your gift is not for you, but it's for the church. And in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to what? To serve. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's manifold grace. So for me and you, for you and I, to be stewards of God's grace is that we would use our gifts to serve in the local church. Whoever speaks, let him speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So when Paul was addressing the elders from Ephesus, and they meet in Miletus, and he calls the elders together. This is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders. This is the presbyteros, the leaders of the church. And in verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's episkopos. To shepherd, that's poimen, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he's speaking to these leaders, and he uses each one of those terms in those verses, elder, overseer, and shepherd. Again, when Peter is writing in 1 Peter 5, there's the three terms, 1 Peter 5, again it says, Peter, to the elders, that's presbyteros, among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds, and that's poimen, or some translations say feed the flock, because that's the primary responsibility of shepherding. It is to feed and lead the flock in the word. Watching over them, and that is episkopos, that's the oversight, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to be examples to the flock. So that frames what a church leader is called to be, looked to be, as he functions, as he ministers, as he serves in the church. And this is something that we value highly as believers, as students of the Bible. As those who want things to be done decently and in order, where there is health in the church, it strikes me as such a sad, sorry state of affairs when, because of the abuse of spiritual leadership, that people in the church are getting hurt and left by the wayside, licking their wounds. How crazy that is. Nevertheless, it's sad and it happens. And we hope and pray with our local church that as we look to the horizon and the future, there's just going to be many blessings ahead. So, Father, we do thank you for this short teaching on this all-important subject of serving in the church with our gifts. And we just ask for your blessing on our hearts to in understanding and applying this and valuing this in our hearts and our lives. We pray for our local church, all of the local churches represented by all those who are listening this morning online. Bless our pastors, our leaders, the deacons, all of the precious men and women who serve in different ministries in the church. Oh, bless our local churches. Let them be a place of service, of grace, of love, of unity, of fellowship, where you will be glorified. As we use our gifts to serve one another because of your spirit and your love in our lives. Perhaps there's someone listening this morning, you're not sure of your salvation. And oh, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He is the Savior. And in this moment, just say, oh, Jesus, please save me today by your grace through faith. In Jesus' name, amen.